Have you been watching the world currency markets with a little bit of concern and trepidation? The market does not like this worrisome time. It doesn't like uncertainty. And we have lots of questions about what's happening not only in China, but in Mexico and here in the United States with the dollar and the yen and the euro. Who better to bring in than Don Lloyd? He's the Senior Vice President and Manager of Capital Markets at Associated Bank, oversees the foreign exchange, rate swaps, and commodity derivatives. And Don is with us this morning. Don, welcome back to the Opening Bell. So I have to start with the China situation. We saw the head of China, the leader of China, speak to the World Economic Forum in Davos. It was kind of surprising to see him there.
China is becoming the world leader when it comes to open markets and free trade, and we're sort of in a new paradigm here. The whole Davos thing, great idea, great concept. It's been going on for decades. Let's have open discussions about free trade and, you know, the future and whatnot. Unfortunately, the backdrop is everybody's guarded. Everybody's defenses are up. Walls are coming up. Everybody's talking about protectionism and whatnot. So not exactly an environment conducive of open discussion that's really going to go much of anywhere. If anything, it was a platform for the politicians and the real players to get on and sort of voice their opinions and their concerns, particularly around exchange rates and whatnot. And that's going to dominate the forefront of the markets for a while anyway.
But I've heard a lot of people diminishing what the Chinese leader said. Is that kind of dangerous for us to do that?
Is dangerous for us to do that. I mean, the foreign exchange markets and exchange rates, you know, are the mechanisms by which prices adjust in international trade. And to sit there and take a protectionist view through tariffs or through fees or charges or whatnot, it's a very dangerous road to go down. When you have the Chinese that are sitting there advocating open markets and free trade and let's not, you know, get too hung up on exchange rates as far as their manipulation goes or whatnot, those are not good for free trade. Those are not good for international markets. You know, the example I always use is when you take a look at China, and China sort of have put themselves in this box over the last 20 or 30 years, and it's interesting to see how they're trying to get out of it, at least verbally. You know, if you're in the United States and you're going to buy a bicycle, you can buy a bicycle in the United States for $100. You can buy that bicycle in China for $50. You're going to buy that bike for $50 in China. And as you take your dollars and either convert those to Chinese yuan or send those dollars over to China for someone else to convert them to the local currency of Chinese yuan, that's going to cause that exchange rate to change. It's going to create a demand for the Chinese yuan. The Chinese yuan is going to appreciate. And as the Chinese yuan appreciates, as that conversion occurs, it's going to take more U.S. dollars to buy the Chinese yuan to buy that bicycle, and hence the price of that bicycle goes from $50 to $60 to $70. And the foreign exchange market is the whole pricing mechanism of which prices adjust on a global basis. And when China comes in and up through 2005 fixed that exchange rate, where it did not allow the exchange rate, the Chinese yuan, to float freely, that pricing mechanism, that adjustment mechanism, wasn't allowed to occur. And that's what occurred through 2005. And everybody loved $50 bicycles. They bought them, they sent those dollars over. And now China sits with $3 trillion of U.S. dollar reserves, all because of this huge inflow of money going into China. So American politicians complain a little bit. You know, they say it's putting American workers out of work and it's, you know, there's all this overseas demand. Relax your markets. And China's excuse was, oh, our markets aren't mature enough yet. They're not ready to handle all of this yet. It's going to take time. So they let the currency start to float a little bit, but within parameters. Mm-hmm. And they control it. And that's what they've been doing ever since. And politicians, be careful, because it's great front page news to say, I'm going to stand up for the American worker and work. But you know what? We like our $50 bicycles. You know, we don't like our $100 bicycles. We like inexpensive goods. And what's going to happen is going to be this balance that's going to occur between putting American workers back to work as we move things back into the U.S. and prices that are going to start to rise. So what do you want? Do you want bicycles that cost more money? Or you want the American worker working? Or you want some combination of the both? And it's just funny to watch China sort of lead the world now on the verbal page saying open markets, you know, there's nothing wrong with foreign exchange markets and the world trade should flow freely. And that's sort of where we are right now.
Don, hang with us. We'll continue our pre-dawn business conversation, the thought leader conversation for this Thursday edition of The Opening Bell. Don Lloyd from Associated Bank. He's the Senior Vice President Manager of Capital Markets there. We'll have more after we check traffic. The dollar, by the way, gained almost 1% from Thursday's lows overnight against a basket of currencies around the world.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. Our thought leader conversation continues this morning. Don Lloyd is in from Associated Bank. He's the Senior Vice President and Manager of Capital Markets, oversees the foreign exchange, rate swaps, commodity, derivative, et cetera. And Don, before the break, we were talking a little bit about Davos, but I was struck this week by the speech by the Great Britain, UK Prime Minister, Theresa May, on Brexit. She has told everybody it's going to be a hard Brexit. How is that impacting markets worldwide?
Has made absolutely no bones about what her intention is. Maybe he's going to slow it down a little bit so companies over in the UK can transition a little bit more, but has basically said there's no middle road here. This is an exit. We're going to break, and we're coming out of this thing. And there isn't going to be any of this hybrid, well, we're going to stay connected in these two or three areas, but this is going to be a total break. And you're already seeing France now. They're starting to talk quite a bit now about taking a look at exiting. So that's just going to continue to snowball. All of this creates uncertainty, you know, and that's what sort of worries me from a overall perspective when it comes to the markets. It creates uncertainty. And if the markets, you know, if they don't like one thing, it's certainly, you know, uncertainty and unpredictability. And you've got President-elect Trump coming in. He's going to install his programs, whether it's repealing Obamacare. That's uncertainty. Tariff wars, uncertainty. The Brexit thing, a little bit more certain, but the timing, but who's going to follow behind it? Uncertainty. The markets are going to react to that. You know, they're going to have to react to that. The key is to watch the currency exchange rates to see where that money is going to flow from and where it's going to flow into. Just my opinion of what to look forward to over the next 3 to 6 months.
And then there's the Trump argument about weakening the dollar, and the former Treasury Secretary Summers telling Davos also that this is really confusing the market. Are you seeing a confused market right now?
We are. And if you take a look back at the last time we were sort of in this environment, it goes back to 1985 in the Plaza Accord. And Plaza Accord was when major countries got together and they basically said an exchange rate policy should exist, you know, to help inefficiencies in a more efficient market. Exchange rate policy should be in line with overall economic policies of countries to sit there and address deficiencies. And help promote those countries that need to create, need to produce more, need to get more involved in it. An exchange rate mechanism should allow that. The U.S. doesn't really move wholeheartedly into that. You know, if anything, our central bank, the Federal Reserve, likes to remain out of that and let exchange rates find their own value, if you will. But again, I can sort of see a 1985 Plaza Accord and some agreement coming out. Now, how much teeth it has to it, don't know. But the environment certainly is ripe for that.
I heard Vice President Biden tell the Davos Forum as well that there has been this progressive world order that is threatened with collapse as we move forward. What does he mean by that?
I've heard that. What I think is there's a whole sense out there of inequality in the world. You have the haves and you have the have-nots. And the new world order is to sit there and take from the haves, give to the have-nots, and let's improve the world as a whole. And that's great at a 100,000-foot level, at some level up there. And if we can't do that, the polarization between the haves and the have-nots is going to just stretch thinner and thinner and thinner. And at some point, it could possibly snap. And by snapping, who knows how that's going to show itself. Mm-hmm. When that happens, could there be a collapse? Sure. You know, whether that's big, whether that's small, there is going to be pain. There is going to be suffering at some point. That's what I think he means by all of that. So, you know, the new world order is let's address that. Let's sit there and make a smoother world between the haves and the have-nots, and let's elevate everybody's game. sort of contrary to what capitalism is all about, you know, and that's sort of where the rub comes. You know, you're either a capitalist and I work for my living and, you know, I create my own wealth and I can do with my wealth what I want and let the other guy worry about himself or herself. Or the other side of the equation, which is we are human. You know, let's help the whole world out here.
You know, throughout history, the let them eat cake routine hasn't had a good ending.
No, it has not. And again, would be very interesting to see what kind of stresses occur that will create, you know, I won't say uprisings, but let's just say more protests, more vocalization of these concerns. You know, I really think that, you know, I'm old enough to remember the 1960s. I think we're going to go back to a 1960s era of protests and verbalization here in the United States where people stand up for themselves, hopefully in a peaceful manner. But protest more and more and more to, you know, to get their concerns out. Dare I say we become more European in our thinking as far as, you know, they'll protest anything. It's raining outside. Let's go have a protest on it or a march on it. I think the U.S. is heading that direction.
Are you holding hands more these days? You talk about the uneasiness with markets and currencies. Are the nervousness, how do you address that with clients?
It's always there. It's a risk. And I address it as a risk. And there are things that you can do and tools that you can use to address that risk and to mitigate that risk. And let's educate ourselves around that. And that's why, you know, when I jokingly say the foreign exchange chapters move from the back of the finance book to the front, that's the education process that I think is the opportunity that we have here. That nervousness. All that nervousness is, are people starting to realize what the risks really are? And in the U.S., we tend to be somewhat behind our overseas counterparties when it comes to understanding that risk. As that moves into the spotlight, people are going to want to be educated on it. And that's the opportunity that we have here. You know, other than that, risks always exist. I mean, this sort of flares up and goes back. The risks are always out there. It's just a matter of, well, the risks are low enough where I'm not going to move to educate myself. Now it's coming on everybody's radar screen.
Is there an opportunity here for investors to make money in these markets as they go up and down and sort of this?
Always. Yeah. I mean, whether the dollar is going up, whether the dollar is going down, whether the funds are flowing from the Bund market over in Germany into the Canadian equity market or down to Mexico, it doesn't matter. All of that's going to flow through the foreign exchange markets. But it's going to give a very good indication of where capital is flowing out of and where it's flowing into. Those are opportunities. You know, if you can keep your finger on those the pulse of that flow and you can identify early on where those flows are going, you're in an opportunity to make money in that in your investments. So, yeah, I mean, but whether it's going up or down, yeah, doesn't matter. The idea is that the money's moving, and that's what's exciting.
And, Don, I noticed you didn't bring your crystal ball in today. I was going to ask if you had any predictions moving forward. Probably should kind of hold on for a while on that, maybe.
Well, at my age, I'm into principal preservation versus speculation. So my whole idea is a little bit more conservative than, you know, it was, say, 20 or 30 years ago. I'm a big U.S. dollar bull. I mean, as you know, I'm very bullish the United States. I like our equity markets. I like our term interest rate structure, our monetary policy stance. I think the U.S. is going to be pretty much the only game in town for a fairly long while, and it's going to help lead the world or the globe, at least the westernized industrial world, you know, out of the depths and along with it. So I'm very bullish America. That's equities. That's bond. That's the whole. It's everything. Very encouraged by that. At some point in time, you should look overseas. You know, my crystal ball. You know, but not yet. You know, that's a little bit premature right now. We've still got a long way to go, you know, with the U.S. investments and where we are right now.
Love the red, white, and blue optimism, Don. Good to talk with you, and look forward to having you back.
Steve, thank you.
Don Lloyd is the Senior Vice President and Manager of Capital Markets at Associated Bank of Foreign Exchange, Rate Swaps, Commodity Derivatives. Again, the dollar gained almost 1% from Thursday's lows against all of the world currencies. Remember, you can listen to more of our thought leader conversations online. Just click into WGNradio.com, our Associated Bank thought leader conversations every Thursday here on The Opening Bell. You can follow Associated Bank at Associated Biz. And again, our past conversations at WGNradio.com.